All right, Dims.
Yeah, Sol.
All right, Miz.
Yeah, Sol.
So, what have you guys been up to then?
Oh, don't ask, bro. Car's back in the garage. Got this badass stomachache. I don't know why yesterday. Just been hurting all day.
And yourself, Miz?
Don't get me started. Going to work. Home. Work. Home. Getting tired, bored.
Same old, yeah, never ends, does it, bro?
Yeah, it's always the case, isn't it? I've not been sleeping well. But obviously, other than our issues that we have, people in Palestine have got it far worse.
Yeah, true say, true say.
Yeah, if you think about the hardships they're going through, nothing compared to what we're...
Puts your problems into context, doesn't it?
Exactly. Real quick. Okay, let's talk about the conflict. See you peeps in a sec.
October 7th, don't you get it?
Do you condemn Hamas?
Do you condemn October the 7th?
No, do you condemn Hamas?
Well, first answer this, do you condemn October the 7th?
Whoa. It's not about Hamas, and it didn't start on October the 7th. Do you not remember my episode? Past Palestine, History Unfold. If you've not listened to it, I suggest you go and listen to that first. It starts off with the history of Palestine. It didn't start on October the 7th, and it hasn't got anything to do with Hamas. If you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to that first.
That's correct. That's an amazing episode, all part of this mini-series that we're doing about the current conflict. So yeah, like Niz said, listen to it. But continue with the timeline. I believe, Niz, you left it on October the...
4th.
And I will be carrying him from October the 7th. Before we start with October the 7th, let's talk about the place where it's been hit the most, Gaza. I'll pose a question to both of you. First of all, do you know how big Gaza is?
Not really. No. I know
it's called a strip, but...
Is there like a million people that live there or something like that? I'm not really sure.
Plus, there's more than...
It's not a huge place as far as I know.
So from my research, I found out that Gaza is a 25-mile long stretch of coastal land. That's 141 square miles by 365 square kilometres.
Wow, that sounds small. What is that compared to?
I compared it to the capital city of the United Kingdom, which is London. London is four times the size of Gaza.
That's quite small then, yeah.
Right, the next area I'd like to cover is West Bank. The reason being is, it's only Gaza and West Bank that is Palestine. The rest of it has been illegally occupied by Israel.
Out of interest, how big is West Bank?
West Bank is roughly three times the size of London.
Okay.
The West Bank is being annexed more and more, so more land from the West Bank is being annexed by Israel and being put under Israeli control. And this is where you might hear the term settlers. And this is illegal under international law.
Thanks for that, Niz. Right, let's get back to Gaza, as that's what's mostly on the news.
But aren't they in the news so much and mentioned because of October the 7th?
Okay, let's talk about the October 7th attack. 1,139 people, including 764 civilians and 373 Israeli security were killed. A further 251 persons were taken hostages during the initial attack on Israel to the Gaza Strip.
Okay, were they killed or did they just die? Because apparently Palestinians die and Israelis are killed.
I think they were killed.
And this is where you'll see in the news propaganda, Palestinians just die, whereas Israelis are killed.
Yeah, that's right, Niz, I agree with you. The way they report is incredibly biased.
Yeah, I mean, you might remember the first bits of information that came out of Israel on October 7th was 40 beheaded babies.
That was a lie, wasn't it?
That was an outright lie. That was an outright lie,
and it's still perpetuated today. And what about the kids who were put in an oven and it turned on? never happened. What about the kids who were tied together, burnt, then stabbed? Never happened.
How do you know it never happened?
Trust me.
Well, I watched a documentary by an investigative journalist on Al Jazeera. It's called October 7th. And he used actual information from the IDF, which showed that only two children had died and they had not been beheaded. Also, no child had been bound, burned and killed.
Yeah, I watched a similar one. I'm not sure if the same one where they actually get their information from Israeli sources. And on October the 7th, one baby died in hospital. Another one was killed by a stray bullet, but they can't determine if that stray bullet was from the Palestinian militants, as they claim, or the IDF soldiers.
Very good point, Dims. Apparently, this investigative journalist found out Israel brought back in something called the Hannibal Directive. And what that meant was, kill your own so that they are not taken as hostages. So Israel has actually killed their own citizens.
And this was Israeli survivors of this event saying it as well, that the IDF were quite heavy-handed in their tactics.
Actually, I remember one report where they shelled an Israeli house and the Israeli citizen, a female, was shouting, "That's an Israeli house and there are Israelis in there." I've just remembered, what about those three Israeli male hostages who were holding up white flags and shouting in Hebrew, "We are here, we are here," and the IDF shot them dead.
Yeah, I've actually seen survivors of that incident. So forget I once in October 7th that wasn't even there. Survivors from the incident saying what the Israel forces are doing in Gaza right now is completely out of order. So I wonder where this, obviously it's been dispelled now, but I wonder where this lie about these 40 babies began. Where did it come from?
It was a misinterpretation or a mix of information. But the disgusting thing is the Israeli government ran with it. And they've not even pulled the statement back. They use it today, still making it out as if it's true. Where it came from? So there was a news reporter. She was asking a soldier questions and the soldier said, "I've seen a beheaded baby, they're animals," something along those lines. She then said, "Oh my God, there's beheaded babies." Then there was another news report of 40 children killed. These two bits of information got coupled together and it became 40 beheaded babies.
Like Chinese whispers then.
Exactly, perfect. Like Chinese whispers. But the most disgusting thing is the Israeli politicians, the Israeli public, the Zionists, they didn't correct their mistake. They ran with that information because they knew it was getting supporters on their side.
Yeah, because they had an agenda.
I can tell you today, they've killed more than 40 babies. They've beheaded more than 40 babies. They have killed...
Who's they?
Israel. The IDF have killed premature babies. The IDF have blown up cryo tanks that have housed IVF embryos, Palestinian future babies. I'm getting really angry now.
And don't forget, Biden also mentioned that he visually seen a video of this as well. Still, he hasn't provided any evidence of this.
Yeah, they actually ended up retracting that statement. But Netanyahu was then on the phone saying, "I've heard of disgusting stories that they put kids in ovens and turned the oven on." That was a lie as well. And most of these lies came from one non-government organization in Israel. I think they were called Zaka. And Benjamin Netanyahu said to this group, "Make as many stories as you can. We need to keep the West's support."
And it worked until they got fact-checked.
But the problem is, no one knows that information. That is why we're here today, putting out everywhere. So please share this. Let people know that 40 babies weren't beheaded. A lie was used to kill Gazans, to kill Palestinians.
Get it to everyone.
Right. Let's get back to the main topic in hand, October the 7th. Do you guys know how the attack happened?
Actually, I'll go off of what I heard on the news. It wasn't just Hamas. It was multiple factions, I think about seven. Al-Quds, Hamas military wing was one of them. And they'd all been training for a very long time. And then they did this attack.
Well, from my research, this is what I found out. On the morning of October the 7th, 6:30 a.m, that's 3:30 GMT, Hamas fired a huge barrage of rockets into southern Israel, with sirens heard as far as Tel Aviv and Beersheba. The group said, I'm assuming this is Hamas, they launched 5,000 rockets, initial barrage.
Yeah, I remember hearing this. I heard that what they did was to try and overwhelm the Iron Dome. That's why they launched so many missiles.
The Israeli military said it was only 2,500 rockets were fired. About an hour later, fighters crossed into Israel by land, air and sea.
Air? I didn't know Hamas had an air force.
No, they don't. They used paragliders. Yeah. You might have seen a couple of protesters were arrested for having paraglider badges.
And the Israeli forces didn't see this?
No. And then, don't think they had a navy either, Dims. They used small little boats to try and go out to sea and circumnavigate the barrier to get onto Israeli land. Those apparently were taken down by the Israeli navy.
Well, most of the fighters went through the security fence by land.
One thing you might not realise is that Israel had a very high-tech security fence system around Gaza. They had citadels, which are towers, which were manned by automated systems, CCTV. They had guns that ran automatically as well. But Hamas easily took these out by using drones and dropping explosives, IEDs, on top of them. This allowed them to then approach the fences and break them and enter Israel.
So that would prove that they rely too much on tech then?
Yeah, same with the Iron Dome. They rely a lot on the Iron Dome.
Well, Israel do have a reputation of having or collecting intelligence. Well, their intelligence is good, but it seems like their analysis was lacking.
Yeah, there's a second story to this actually. Their intelligence was very good. They knew that this was going on. There's video footage that's been gathered now that shows these seven factions training together, doing the exact things that they did on October the 7th, prior to October the 7th. But there is another story going on out there, and it is that Netanyahu wanted this to happen. He's actually seen in a video, and it's not an AI deep fake. He actually says in the video,
there's one way you can make sure the Palestinians never get a homeland. Send your money to Hamas.
It almost sounds like a inside job.
Yeah, I think it was. If their intelligence is good, they've gathered all of that information, they just didn't do anything on it because they wanted it to happen. And that's Israel. Netanyahu wanted it to happen.
Funny that you say that. Well, from what I researched, Israel already knew that Hamas were planning to strike more than a year ago. They had some sort of blueprint called the Jericho Wall. Hamas followed the blueprint quite closely. Now, this blueprint distributed on a large scale to all the Israeli military and intelligence leaders.
So basically, you're saying they knew a year in advance that this attack was going to happen. They had a blueprint to something similar and something almost identical to that happened a year later.
Yes, that's correct.
On October the 7th. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I'll admit that is exactly what I've seen. Surprisingly, in Western media, they've been very critical of Netanyahu.
Interesting. Talk about Benjamin Netanyahu. Do you guys remember the speech that he mentioned to the United Nations on the 1st of October 2023?
Yeah, I remember that very well. During that presentation, during that speech, he held up a placard, a map of the Middle East, with a picture of Israel, but with no recognition of the Gaza Strip or the West Bank.
So in other words, no Palestine.
In other words,
wait a minute,
Palestine.
When was this?
1st of October.
What year?
2023, 6 days before the attack.
But it gets even more deeper because the map was showing a trade route
that connects Asia through the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel to Europe.
Everybody was wondering what's going on here. And then we learned that Biden, as part of the extension of the Abraham Accords, made a deal with Saudi Arabia to provide Saudi Arabia protection as long as they normalise ties with Israel.
Well, the rabbit hole goes deep.
And this is why some people believe Hamas did what they did on the 7th of October. They realised once Saudi Arabia normalised ties, there was no chance of a Palestinian state.
Yeah, no one's going to help him out. They're all on their own.
So he clearly had an agenda, which he implemented on the 8th of October?
No, 7th of October.
Yeah, and he allowed it to happen so that he can then do what he wanted on the 8th of October.
Right. Exactly. Which leads us on to the 8th of October.
The retaliation. Which is their claim to our right to defend ourselves.
Israel has a right to defend itself.
But is it self-defense if you created the attack?
Allowed the attack to happen, yeah?
As an illusion.
This goes deep.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Guys, you don't have to take our words for it. The facts are out there. You can do your research. Like my colleague said, it goes deep. You've just been spoon-fed a certain narrative by the mainstream media.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe.
And that's why we're here today, to try and give you a balanced view on what actually occurred.
As a democratic nation, a level-headed nation, they responded proportionately.
As you said, as a responsible nation, I'm sure they responded adequately.
What?
Unlike those Hamas terrorists. Saul, why don't you enlighten us what occurred on October the 8th and beyond?
Well, Israel formally declared a state of war under the Article 40A for the first time since 1973, Yom Kippur War.
Yeah, we actually covered that in Past Palestine, A History Unfold. Please go back and listen to that as well.
Also, on the 8th of October, 300,000 reservists were also called up.
And we've got to remember, those reservists could be dual nationals from other countries. We have UK Jewish citizens who went to Gaza and murdered innocent civilians.
Israel declared its aim to eliminate Hamas military capability and end its rule over the Gaza Strip.
Also, Israel's best friend, the US, got involved. They immediately deployed USS Gerald Ford, a aircraft carrier, to the Mediterranean. That was sent there to protect Israel while it concentrated on the Gaza Strip, essentially making sure that Hezbollah couldn't try to attack them from the north in Lebanon. Unlike the West Bank, where the Palestinians are being attacked by Israelis.
Settlers. Israeli settlers.
Yes, very good to clarify, Saul. Being attacked by Israeli settlers. These Israeli settlers are taking reprisals against the Palestinians in the West Bank.
This was on October the 8th.
This started on October the 8th, but no one turned up to protect them in the West Bank, whereas the US quite happily put an aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean to protect Israel.
Why was that in the West Bank? I thought the attack was against Hamas, who originated from Gaza, right?
Yeah, it was, but the Israeli settlers are now taking it upon themselves to attack
illegal settlers
are now attacking the Palestinians in the West Bank.
The OCHA also confirmed that in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, between 7th and 8th of October, 13 Palestinians, including a 12-year-old child, were killed by the Israeli forces.
Now, this is shocking because Israeli politicians are going out to the world and saying that Gaza is a problem area. But what has the West Bank done? Nothing, but yet they're attacking the West Bank as well.
Innocent civilians and children, by the way, they killed a child there.
Now on the next day, the 9th of October, the Defence Minister, Yovan Gallant, announced a total blockade of the Gaza Strip. And he stated,
אנחנו מטילים מצור מוחלט על העיר עזה. אין חשמל, אין מזון, אין מים, אין דלק. הכל סגור. אנחנו נלחמים בחיות אדם ואנחנו נוהגים בהתאם.
To me, that sounds like a subhuman talk. Treating them like they're not even humans.
Yeah, I think at this point, you saw the genocidal intent by the Israeli politicians. What Yoav Gallant did that day, what he said was absolutely barbaric. He said that he's going to cut fuel, water, electricity, and that we are fighting animals and we are going to act accordingly. That was disgusting.
It was disgusting, but unfortunately very real. That's what they did. They didn't just say it, they actually did it. And I'm surprised that it happened that quick. I can't believe that. I remember hearing on the news, but I can't believe it happened on the 9th. That's literally
2 days.
2 days later, which I'm sure is in violation of the Geneva Convention. It's against their human rights. And also, you have etiquettes and you have rules and regulations of war. And I'm sure Israel, by doing these horrendous, inhumane acts, broke all those laws.
Oh, and remember, they're still attacking the Palestinians in the West Bank On the 9th of October, another 15 Palestinians were killed, and 4 of those were children.
On the back of that, on the 10th of October, it seems like they also murdered 19 Palestinians, including 3 children.
And that was in the West Bank. This isn't even Gaza. Apparently Hamas is only in Gaza, but then why are they killing people in the West Bank?
Exactly. On the 10th of October, the first advanced weaponry from US arrived in Israel. Also on the 10th of October, President Biden noted and said, Hamas does not stand for the Palestinian people's right to dignity and self-determination. Its purpose is to annihilate the state of Israel and the murder of Jewish people. And their characteristic is an assault, an act of sheer evil.
President Biden, isn't he now known as...
Genocidal Joe.
Is that what they call him now? I knew him as Sleepy Joe. What does he know about Hamas? He doesn't even know what day of the week it is.
And another disgusting thing that the Israeli politicians say is all of Gaza's citizens are targets because they voted for Hamas. This is apparently a democratic, liberal Israeli nation, but yet they're conducting collective punishment on the Palestinian people, and that is just wrong. Moving on to the 11th of October, Saul.
The United States held talks with the Egyptian regarding a humanitarian corridor via its Gaza border across the near city of Rafah. So providing supplies.
To let aid in.
Yes, that's correct.
So after almost a week and a half of...
Not a week.
7th to the 11th.
7th to the 11th.
So a couple of days off.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was extreme. They had no electricity.
Yep.
No water. That's a no basic food. Thing you need.
No food.
No fuel.
No fuel, yeah.
And medical aid, obviously, because they've been getting the...
And just whatever they have.
Bombed out of it.
And the military had started targeting Gaza's infrastructure. So power plants, sewage works, water works.
So at least they were letting aid in. Oh no, this was just talking about it, wasn't it?
They're just talking about it. No, they're not even letting it in yet.
Now, by the 12th of October, it was officially announced that the Gaza would not receive water, fuel, or electricity until the hostages were freed.
So let me get this straight. 4 days earlier, they were talking about letting potential aid through, which they haven't got. And then 4 days later, they say...
No. So the US and Egypt were trying to mediate a humanitarian corridor. But Israel has now officially, on the 12th of October, said we are going to cut fuel, water, and electricity.
Which they've already cut.
No, they were saying they're going to do it.
This is officially in place now.
Right.
Now, on October 13th, the IDF dropped flyers in the northern part of the Gaza, informing the local resident to start leaving the area, otherwise they will be attacked.
Oh, ain't they the nice neighbour, giving them a warning before they flattened the place?
Yeah, that's what they use, don't they? They say, well, at least we warned him before we went and blew him up.
The next day, the 14th of October, the IDF announced 2 routes with safe passages between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Wait a minute, I remember these routes. Isn't this where the Palestinians were murdered?
Yes.
Slaughtered, you mean? So they were led to the slaughterhouse and slaughtered under the false pretense of it being a safe passage.
Yep.
On the following day, the 16th of October, the World Health Organization stated there was only 24 hours of water, electricity and fuel left, and this would bring a real catastrophe in Gaza as the situation was spiraling out of control. On October the 21st, Hamas released 2 hostages to the International Red Cross.
Oh yeah, I remember them. The American-Israeli mother and the daughters Judith and Natalie Renan.
On the 23rd of October, 65 medics were killed and 25 ambulances destroyed, and many hospitals soon shutting down due to the lack of fuels. On the 24th of October, there was a press conference and Hamas released a hostage, an 85-year-old woman.
I remember her, Lifshitz.
Yeah, she said she went through hell, but they treated her well.
There's another point to make here. At the moment, Israel's media is on overdrive. The West is on overdrive. All they're doing is portraying Hamas has committed some really brutal acts. You know what? I'm not going to disagree. I'm sure it did happen. But I've gone through other several news media outlets. There was a woman in one of the kibbutzes that actually said the gunman who came to her house, they allowed her to sit at a table. The Hamas member, even before taking anything from the house, he asked the lady, "Is it okay if I can have a banana?" She also said he told her, "Don't be scared. I'm a Muslim. I am not going to kill you." She had praise for him. But yet we hear that the IDF enacted the Hannibal Directive. And the Hannibal Directive is what allowed the Israeli military to kill its own civilians.
On the 26th of October, Netanyahu stated Israel has already eliminated thousands of terrorists. And this is only the beginning.
Yeah, I think I remember that statement. I believe they killed 40 people in total just to get, I think it was 3 Hamas commanders. This is their collateral damage.
And now, on the 27th of October, Gaza is suffering a complete communication blackout. ActionAid stated that it's nearly impossible for people to call or receive emergency services. So in other words, taking out communication towers.
It's like they don't want the world to know what's going on.
Well, that's why they stopped the electricity and fuel. People's mobile phones will die and they can no longer record it, because that will be the evidence to show the world that genocide is being committed.
So from here onwards, it's the invasion of the Gaza Strip, and it started from the 28th of October onwards.
Oh, you mean the ground invasion?
So prior to this, it was just airstrikes and cutting off their immunities.
Yeah, that's correct.
And trying to cause a blackout, but now they're actually going in
with troops, feet on the ground.
World Health Organization Chief Tedros noted that the Palestinian Red Crescent reported that Israel threatens to bomb the Al-Quds Hospital. And this was a post on X. And he stated that it's impossible to evacuate the hospital full of patients without endangering their lives.
Aren't hospitals out of bounds, even in a war situation?
It is.
Unfortunately, there is a caveat, and Israel has become a master at using these caveats. They claim that Hamas has underground tunnels, or they use it as shields.
Also, Dr. Ghassan Abu Sita, hopefully I pronounced that right, wrote that he was increasingly treating patients with white phosphorus burns. And this, I'm sure, is illegal to use.
It is. It's illegal to use white phosphorus as a weapon.
But Israel are using it.
Israel seems to be doing a lot of illegal things and getting away with it.
Now, on the 2nd of November, the siege of the Gaza City starts. On the 3rd of November, the IAF attacks an ambulance column and the main gate of the Al-Shifa Hospital. Also, a medical convoy in front of the Al-Shifa Hospital was destroyed by an Israeli drone missile. 4th of November, the entrance of Al-Nazir Children's Hospital was hit by an Israeli attack. That's the following day.
Why are they attacking hospitals and ambulances? It's ridiculous.
On the 5th of November, the Israeli Heritage Minister suggesting launching a nuclear strike on the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, so again, there you go, their genocidal intent.
The 8th of November, Khalid bin al-Walid mosque was completely destroyed by the Israeli shelling in Khan Yunus.
Well, that's another trait of the Israelis. They're bombing religious sites as well, mosques and churches. If you remember, Christmas in Bethlehem was Jesus under the rubble.
So basically, holy places that are supposed to be out of bounds are getting attacked.
Yep.
Not just holy sites, but also schools have been attacked. As of 9th of November, an Israeli airstrike targets Al Burak School near the Al Nasir neighborhood, northern part of the Gaza City.
So nothing is off limits?
No. The 9th of November, the Gaza government media office stated that Israel had bombed 8 hospitals in the past 3 days.
So we're only on the 8th of November, are we?
9th of November now.
We're on the 9th of November.
About a month now.
And this is the proportionate retaliation for what happened on the 7th of October.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, wait, we've not finished yet.
On the 10th of November, the Al-Shifa Hospital was bombed 5 times in 24 hours.
Proportionate response, eh?
Also, on the 10th of November, the Palestinian Red Crescent stated the Israeli sniper opened fire on children at the Al-Quds Hospital, killing one and wounding 28. The Ministry of Health stated Israel cut off the Indonesian hospitals, electricity, water and communications on the same day. That's the 10th of November. On the 12th of November, the Director General of the Al-Shifa Hospital mentioned that the lives of 650 patients were in danger at the Al-Shifa Hospital due to the catastrophic situation. On the 14th of November, the IDF raided Al-Shifa Hospital and interrogated patients and medical staff. Also on the 14th of November, Israel launched a raid on the Al-Shifa Hospital where thousands, including 3 dozen premature babies, were still sheltering. Doctors also reported 40 patients died at the Al-Shifa Hospital.
It's like total disregard for human life.
Now, on the 18th of November, the IDF dropped leaflets in the south of Gaza Strip, ordering people to evacuate.
Wait a minute, didn't they drop leaflets in the north telling them to go south? And now they're dropping them in the south. Where are they going to go now?
To the borders, maybe? That's what they're trying to do, aren't they?
They're trying to push them out, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Seems like it.
Yep. On the 21st of November, the Israeli government voted to approve a deal mediated by the Qatar, Egypt and the US with Hamas to exchange 150 Palestinian prisoners for 50 hostages. They also approved an agreement for a 4-day ceasefire in Gaza. Netanyahu clarified that Israel's war against Hamas would continue after the ceasefire. Also on the 21st of November, 4 doctors were reportedly killed after Israel bombed Al-Wada Hospital. The World Health Organization stated 3 hospitals in northern Gaza would be evacuated, meaning there would be no functioning hospital left in northern Gaza. On the 24th of November, a ceasefire came into effect on the 49th day of the war. The ceasefire was only for 7 days. 24 hostages, including 13 Israelis, 10 Thais, 1 Filipino, were released by Hamas. Israel also released 39 Palestinian prisoners.
I think it was the Thai or the Filipino, one of their foreign ministers was asked a question by the Western media what they think of Hamas. And they said, Hamas is a group that is fighting oppression. Hamas is fighting for a reason. They're not just doing it because they hate Jews. They're doing it because the Palestinian people are oppressed.
28th of November, 10 Israeli hostages and a pet dog, two Thais and 30 Palestinian prisoners were exchanged on the fourth day of the truce.
What? A dog?
Yeah, a dog. A pet dog.
Hamas didn't even harm the dog.
Not by the sounds of it. On the 1st of December, the seventh day of ceasefire has formally ended. Also, leaflets were dropped with maps into Khan Yunus, showing hundreds of evacuation zones.
Oh yeah, I remember these maps. They were segmented out into small zones. What the Israeli forces would do, wherever they were about to attack, they would call that an active zone and people would have to leave that area. They only put that in place because the West started to say, you're killing too many innocent people and you need to do more to save their lives. But the BBC proved this facility was not working.
Safe zones sounds more like kill zones, if you ask me.
An Israeli airstrike destroyed a large building in Khan Yunus. The Gaza Health Ministry claimed that over 180 people were killed since the truce had ended.
Have we got to that point where, for some reason, every single Western media outlet has to start putting in, and the Hamas-run health ministry claims this number of people died? This is another propaganda ploy by Israel.
Whenever the World Health Organization or the Gaza Health Ministry claims so many people have died, they always say they were combatant. So they'll go off by combatant. I recall an interview with Piers Morgan where he said, so how many civilians are killed? They go, we don't know what civilians are killed, but we can tell you 20,000 combatants have died. So you can't tell us how many civilians have died, but you can tell us how many combatants have died.
Yeah, I remember that interview. He was the Israeli-British spokesperson. And when Piers Morgan pushed him, I want to know how many civilians have died. And he just kept on repeating, I can't give you those figures. But yet, they're trying to make it out as if the Hamas-run health ministry is lying. No.
The statisticians
will look at... Give me a ballpark number for civilians.
Well, of course, you can use the ballpark as far as the Hamas figures, which I reject as being false.
Well, if they're false, why would you give me those?
But Hassan Mehdi, on his show, which he was cancelled from, actually pushed back and said, in previous conflicts, you've quite happily used their figures. Why is it now that you can no longer trust their figures? Again, Israel is playing the propaganda war as well.
On the 8th of December, the United States vetoed UN Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Only the UK abstained, while the remaining 13 members voted in the affirmative. Now, on the 13th of December, an interview on Sky News with the UK ambassador of Israel, Zibi Hotoveli, said she absolutely rejects the two-state solution. It's not a common thing. They always mention this. They don't want a two-state solution.
Is there still a chance for a two-state solution?
The answer is absolutely no, and I'll tell you why.
She also had an interview back on the 13th of November with Channel 4. She had zero empathy for the Palestinians.
Do you have any empathy with the Palestinian?
I have zero empathy.
Who was this, by the way?
Zibi Hotoveli.
What's her
position? The UK ambassador for Israel.
So they rejected a two-state solution, although they portray that it's the Palestinians that don't want the two-state solution.
Yeah, she's very right-wing. She's very conservative.
She should also zip her mouth.
On the 15th of November, the IDF issued a statement revealing that they had killed three of their own hostages in an act of friendly fire during operations in Shuja. The troops fired at and killed the three hostages after they mistook them as a threat. The hostages were later identified after their bodies were returned to Israel. The hostages were waving a white flag when they were shot, and also the building or the bedsheets had Hebrew writing on them.
That's odd. It sounds like a policy of shoot first, ask questions later.
Remember the Hannibal directive?
What was that?
Shoot your own people so they can't be taken hostage.
So they're because enforcing it now, aren't they? Yeah.
Israel only brought in the Hannibal directive because they got sick of having to trade hundreds of Palestinian prisoners
for one
Israeli citizen or soldier.
On the 16th of December, an Israeli sniper shot and killed a Christian mother and daughter sheltering at the Holy Family Catholic Church in northern Gaza.
Again, another holy place that's out of bounds.
So on the 19th of December, I had Mesiso. She lost her leg and it happened around lunchtime. An Israeli tank shell hit her house and her uncle amputated her leg with a kitchen knife. This was reported on Sky News. She eventually went to Colorado and Dr. Omar Mubarak, who is a vascular surgeon, fitted her with a new leg. She joked around when she was saying that she's forgotten her shoes.
Excited?
Happy. But I forget my shoes. The right shoes.
You forgot the right shoes.
But she had resentment when she came to the US. She didn't like leaving Gaza. She said, America is more like Israel and America kills people and then attends their funeral.
I would say America kills a person and then attends their funeral.
Powerful words.
That hits home. What she says, America kills people, then attends their funeral.
It was like Bassem Youssef also said, it's like Israel, they want to shoot you and then they want to condemn you for screaming.
The 21st of December, the Israeli military bulldozers destroyed the Sheikh Shaban Cemetery in the As-Saha neighbourhood of eastern Gaza, crushing the bodies buried there. But this is what they've done throughout Gaza. If you look at before and after satellite images of Gaza, you'll see that they've absolutely completely obliterated, flattened it. This is a term some university lecturers are trying to coin, the term domicide. And this should be actually added as a means of warfare.
Like we said at the beginning of this episode, Sol explained, Gaza's, was it the size of London?
No, it's quarter.
A quarter of size of London, and it's had that much bombing. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think there was more bombs dropped by Israel on Gaza in this small period than the Ukraine has had done to it.
The 22nd of December, the Palestinian Red Crescent stated that Israel had destroyed all ambulance in its centre and that 47 men were stripped naked, beaten and tortured.
I think I saw something similar to this on TikTok. Israeli soldiers posting images of naked Palestinian men tied and blindfolded and made to walk the streets.
Degrading of their manhood.
Now on the 26th of December, the Gaza Health Ministry announced that 241 Palestinians have been killed by the Israeli attack. On the 29th of December, South Africa filed a case against Israel at the International Court of Justice, accusing Israel of genocidal act in Gaza.
Yeah, I remember this. South Africa was hoping to open up the world's eyes to what Israel was doing and hopefully get them to stop.
11th of January 2024, South Africa presents a case to the International Court of Justice accusing Israel of genocide in Gaza. On the 14th of January, Netanyahu made a speech marking 100th day of the war on Gaza, saying that no one will stop us, not the Hague, referring to the genocide trial it faces in the ICJ.
14th of Jan, 2024 now, aren't we?
Yeah, that's correct.
So it's literally gone to the next year, this war, this conflict.
1st of February, it's now reported that 119 Palestinians were killed in an Israeli attack in the past 24 hours, bringing the death toll to 27,019.
On the 17th of February, the International Court of Justice rejected South Africa's request for new constraints aimed at preventing an Israeli incursion in Rafah, saying instead that the perilous situation in Rafah and all of Gaza required Israel to observe its January ruling, which demanded Israel take all measures within its power to prevent the crime of genocide by its forces.
Right, so now we're up to 25th February, we can see that this is not only having an effect on the Palestinian people, but the public at large in the wider world. A serviceman of the United States Air Force, Aaron Bushnell, set himself on fire in front of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. to protest against Israel's war in Gaza. He later died due to his injuries.
29th of February, it's known as the Flower Incident. The Israeli soldiers opened fire on a crowd, killing at least 118 Palestinians, injuring 760 people waiting for food aid near the Al Rashid Street, south of Gaza. 10th of March, the IDF carried out a massacre in the Al Mawis area of Khan Yunus, killing the Abdul Ghafur family and their animals. So you can see the difference.
Oh yeah, when they released the hostages, they gave their dog back.
11th of March, this is where Ramadan started. Israeli forces prevented hundreds of Muslim worshippers from entering Al-Aqsa Masjid, bringing the mark of the start of Ramadan, stopping them praying. On the 29th of March, Israel banned Palestinian Christians from entering Jerusalem's Old City during Easter.
Yeah, you see this again and again. You can find it online on TikTok or YouTube Shorts. Israel actually looks down at everybody and anybody else. Jews look down at Christians, they look down at Muslims, whether they're from indigenous to Israel or whether they're just traveling there on holy pilgrimage. They don't like any other religion whatsoever.
Some of them even spit at Christians.
Yep,
that's the videos there.
That's the footage I'm talking about.
On the 1st of April, this is no joke, an Israeli strike on a vehicle in Deir al-Balah, killing
7
World Center kitchen aid workers from Australia, Britain, Ireland and Poland, along with the Palestinian driver.
Not even aid workers, foreign aid workers are off limits. They didn't strike them once, this was a deliberate attack. There were 3 vehicles, all 3 vehicles were attacked, and they were attacked hundreds of meters apart.
Yeah, these dudes couldn't have been Hamas. They're not even Palestinians.
Well, the driver was.
But apart from him, what was the excuse to kill all the others?
These cars were well labelled as well. They had the World Central Kitchen logo on them. The person who runs World Central Kitchen, he actually came out and said this was absolutely despicable, it is disgusting, and Israel must be held to account, and the US needs to stop sending shipments of weapons.
On the 5th of April, the IDF sacked 2 officers over the strike on the World Center Kitchen convoy, which we mentioned that happened on the 1st of April.
So basically what they did was they tried to appease the West by creating 2 scapegoats.
Yep, sounds like it. Now, the 9th of April, the Gaza Health Minister reported that at least 153 Palestinians were killed in the Israeli attack in the past 24 hours, bringing the death toll to 33,360. From October the 7th, 2023 to 9th of April, 2024, that's like 6 months and a couple of days. Obviously, we can't cover every single details because there's a lot of information. You can gather all those information online.
We've just done snippets and summary information. There is just so much that went on every single day, every single hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, we've tried our best to give an in-depth view and we've captured as much as we could, but like Niz and Sol said, there was literally things happening on a daily basis, and you know, this episode, as long as it is, the series would have been even longer. But the facts are out there for you guys to look into.
Well, talk about facts, Dims and Niz. Have you heard about the red heifers?
No, I've not actually, no.
No, red heifers, what's that, Sol?
Well, you guys will have to just wait and find out for the next episode.
Come on, man, not this again.
Just wait and see.
See you next time, guys. Bye.
Yeah, see you next time. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey.
at Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.